chariot coming forth to carry me home.
Amen. Good afternoon.
Amen.
Let's one back out with us. Not many, but we're here. That's all that matters. Remember the ones that are traveling that we talked about this morning. Lord knows who they are. Still remember moms at home and Sister Cleta and Sister Esther Smallwood and let's see. I can't read my own writing. Tootsie Roll. Sister Tootsie Roll. Sister Tootsie. I call her Sister Tootsie Roll, but it's Sister Tootsie and Stephen and remember Brother Danny. Remember all the ones were. Rebecca gave me one this afternoon. Says, please remember Brother Al. He has a lot of fluid on his legs and feet. So remember Brother Al. All the ones we pray for. Sister Gail, Brother Collie, Brother Darty, Sister Jean, Sister Johnny. I know I'm missing one, but Lord knows who they are. The older ones in the church.
Yeah.
Just put it there. All the older ones. So just remember that. Also, Brother Donnie's asking for Sister Susan from this morning. She's still at home sick. Remember her also. Brother Rhino's thanking the Lord for your prayers for his car decision. We thank the Lord for taking care of that. Look like he's got some $100,000 vehicle sitting out there now. So looks gold. I think it's 24-karat gold car. So he paid a lot for it, but the good Lord helped him take care of it. So that's all that matters. That's the only ones I have. I know we all have unspoken requests. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for letting us come out this afternoon, Lord. Lord, be with the ones who are traveling, Lord. We have many people that are traveling today. Come down, bless them, be with them, and guide them. Be with our services here. Remember Brother Bob preaching, Lord, be with him. Bless him, Lord, and give us the right attitude to listen to what's being said. Lord, there's many people that are sick. There are many unspoken requests. Lord, you know who they are and what needs they are. Come down and bless us today and forgive us for all of our sins. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You be seated.
Amen.
Oh, is it February?
March. I'm sorry.
Here, stand back up, please. Here, I am skipping around on the days or the months that's running by me. For March, we have Brother Anderson's birthday. Brother Hal Thomas had one yesterday, so we have to sing special to him. Little Rebecca's got one this month. Mary Darty and Brother Joe Solace has got one this month. So hit us a E flat.
Oh, happy birthday to you. Oh, happy birthday to you. May you feel Jesus near every day of the year. Oh, happy birthday to you. Oh, happy birthday to you. And the best year you've ever had. Oh, happy birthday to you. Oh, happy birthday to you. May you feel Jesus near every day of the year. Oh, happy birthday. Oh, happy birthday. And the best year you've ever had.
Amen. Happy birthday to all of those. Okay.
Brother made the announcement this morning for the home there in Nicaragua. So what we're going to do, we're just going to pass the plate and let you give whatever you give. Don't put your tithe in and things, because that's, you know, a different part. We're just taking this offering. They won't take up two offerings. It'll just be the one offering today. All right. Was in the church one time, and they passed around twice. I thought if they'd go three times, I'm leaving, you know. But we were going to just pass the plate. Now you just give whatever the Lord lays on your heart for the brothers and sisters there in Nicaragua to try to get them a home. We're glad to have our visitors. We said welcome to them this morning, but we say welcome to you now in the name of the Lord. And just be free to fellowship with us in the Lord. Amen. Go ahead, brother.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Where's Thomas at? Oh, he's back there. Thomas, you want to come help us?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
There you go, Brother Dale.
Let us pray. Lord, please bless the money that's being put in to help the brother, my own sister, Scarlett, and please bless Father, pray of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Yes, we welcome, again, like Brother Dale said, we welcome our sister back there. Sister Abby is her name, Abigail. And she goes to Gainesville Tabernacle. And so she's visiting here with us. We met her several months ago. She was in Florida. When we were down there for some special meetings at Brother Keith Brown's, and then we brought her back with us to Gainesville because her mom was going to go all the way down there to pick her up in Jacksonville, Florida. I said, no, well, we're here. Just bring her. So that's how we got acquainted with her. But it's good to have her here with us. And praise the Lord. Let's sing this little song, They Come from the East and West. Amen. Page number 3 in the spiral book. They come from the east and west. They come from the lands afar. To feast with the King, to dine as His guest. How blessed these pilgrims are. Beholding His hallowed face. Aglow with light divine, blessed partakers of His grace, as gems in His crown to shine. Since Jesus has set me free, I'm happy as heart can be. No longer I bear the burden of care. His yoke is so sweet to me. My soul was as black as night, but darkness has taken flight. Now I shout the victory. For Jesus has set me free.
Let's sing that last verse. Oh, Jesus is coming soon.
Jesus is coming soon. Our trials will then be o'er. Oh, what if our Lord this moment should come? For those who are free from sin. Then would it bring you joy, or sorrow in deep despair? When our Lord in glory comes, we'll meet Him up in the air.
Since Jesus set me free,
since Jesus has set me free, I'm happy as heart can be. No longer I bear the burden of care. His yoke is so sweet to me. Soul was as black as night, but darkness has taken flight. Now I shout the Jesus has set me free.
Praise the Lord. We have something to shout about, right? Amen. Let's sing that little song, Feeling So Much Better. Key of F, page 9 in the spiral book.
Feeling so much better, talking about this good old way. Feeling so much better, talking about the Lord. So let's go on, talking about this good old way. Let's go on, talking about the Lord. Oh, the devil, he don't like it, talking about this good old way. The devil, he don't like it, talking about the Lord. Oh, let's go on, talking about this good old way. Let's go on, talking about the Lord.
Oh, I'm feeling so much better. Talking about this good old way. Feeling so much better. Talking about the Lord. So let's go on, let's go on. Talking about this good old way. Let's go on, let's go on. Talking about the Lord. But devil, he don't like it. We're talking about this good old way. The devil, he don't like it. Talking about the Lord. Oh, let's go on, let's go on. Talking about this good old way. Let's go on, let's go on. Talking about the Lord. One more time. Oh, let's go on, let's go on. Talking about this good old way. Let's go on, let's go on, talking about the Lord.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Brother Branham said you want to bring angels on the scene. You talk about the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Angels like that. Praise God. Amen. Brother Aaron, you guys want to sing a special? Okay. I'm going to have Brother Aaron take it away.
Praise the Lord.
Is this on?
I think it is.
Is it on?
No.
Number 30 in the spiral book. My heart has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fears dismay. Though some may dwell where these abound, my prayer, my aim is higher ground.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining. Every day, still praying as I'm onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. My heart has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fears dismay. Though some may dwell where these abound, my prayer, my aim is higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to scale the utmost height and catch a gleam of glory bright. Though some may dwell till heaven I found, Lord, lead me on to higher
stand by faith on heaven's tableland, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to scale the utmost height and get your gleam of glory bright. But still I'll pray till heaven I found. Lord, lead me on to higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground.
Praise the Lord. That's your desire? Lord, take me higher. Higher. Oh, praise God. Amen. When we stand to our feet, let's just sing this song. Amen. There's never been a day like this day. Page 448, the Spiral Book. Praise God. We might find a lot of gloominess out there, amen, but there's never been a day like this day. You know, the prophets of old wanted to live in this day that you're living in. Amen. Take advantage of that. Praise God. Key of F. There's never been a day like this day to me. There's never been a day like this day I see. There's never been a light that shines so bright as this day, this glorious day. Sing it again. Oh, there's never been a day like this day to me. There's never been a day like this day I see. Oh, there's never been a light that shines so bright as this day, this glorious day. One more time, sing it now. For there's never been a day like this day to me. There's never been a day like this day I see. Oh, there's never been a light that shines so bright as this day, this glorious day. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Sing that now. Oh, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation so pure and free. Once again, oh, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Oh, thank you, Lord, for making me whole.
nation so full, so free.
Amen. Aren't you thankful this afternoon? Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's sing this real as just right before Brother Bob comes out. There's a river of life flowing out of me. Amen.
There's a river of life flowing out of me, makes the lame to walk and the blind to see. Opens prison's door, sets the captives free. There's a river of life flowing out of me. Spring up, O wind, within my soul. Spring up, O well, and make me whole. Spring up, O well, and give to me that life abundantly. Once again. Oh, there's a river of life flowing out of me. Makes the lame to walk and the blind to see. Opens prison's door, sets the captives free. There's a river of life flowing out of me. Spring up, oh well, within my soul. Spring up, oh well, and make me whole. Spring up, oh well, and give to me that life abundantly. This is the day. Oh, this is the day. This is the day that the Lord hath made. That the Lord hath made. We will rejoice. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And be glad in it. Oh, this is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. For this is the day, this is the day that the Lord hath made. Let's sing this, glad day. Oh, glad day when I was born again. It was a glad day when I was born again. Was a glad day when I was born again. It was a glad day when I was born again. The sins I used to do, the sins I used to do, I do them no more. The sins I used to do, I do them no more. The sins I used to do, I do them no more. It was a glad day when I was born again. Once again, glad day. Oh, glad day when I was born again. It was a glad, glad day when I was born again. Was a glad day when I was born again. It was a glad day when I was born again.
Give the Lord a clap of praise. Amen. Praise God. And that new birth, amen, is a continual process. Amen. Praise the Lord. We just thank God for that. How many are ready for the word? Amen. So let's just have Brother Bob come and let's sing Open the Eyes of My Heart. Or if he doesn't open up our eyes, amen, our spiritual eyes, amen, we can't see his word, amen. But we're going to ask him to just open up our eyes, amen. Let's sing.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Oh, I want to see you. Eyes of my heart, Lord. Oh, open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you.
Lord Jesus, I want to see you, to see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, 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 high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, 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 holy. Holy, 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 I want to see you.
Amen.
Amen.
If you want to see him, you come to the right place. As we look into his word, we're going to read this morning or this afternoon from John chapter 14, verses 14 to 21. How many enjoyed that service this morning? Appreciate Brother Luis pouring his heart out to us. I was telling him earlier, it's just amazing how the Holy Spirit works in continuity, because a lot of the things that that he mentioned this morning, I have in my notes and scriptures to read about and everything. So it's good to know that God is with us and God's moving and
glory.
Everything all right? Okay. All right. Let's go right into the Word, John chapter 14. And before we go, let's go and address the author. Lord God, we thank you, God, for your grace and mercy to us. Lord Jesus, in this hour, it looks like things are getting darker as the devil seems like he's getting angrier and angrier. And we want to make the devil angry. Anything I can do to make the devil upset, that's what I want to do. Lord, we remember your prophet spoke about how that in this hour it would get darker and darker and darker. And we remember him down at telling that little story of in the cave where he said, there was that little boy that said, there is a man that can turn on the light. And Lord, we're looking for you to turn on the light for us this afternoon, Lord Jesus. In this dark hour that we're living in, Lord, come among us now and turn on the light and reveal to us that there's nothing to be afraid of, that you're still with us, that Lord, you're still moving among your people. And that you've given us, you've equipped us in this hour with the equipment to stand against all the powers of darkness, all that the devil can throw at us. You've given us something to withstand. And we thank you, Lord God, for all that you've given to us, Lord Jesus. And we're grateful for it now, Lord. And we pray, Lord, that you'll just feel welcome here to move among us this afternoon, Lord Jesus. And Lord, let it not just be a vain gathering together, Lord Jesus, but gathering together to worship in you and the power of your resurrection, to know you, Lord, in the way that you want us to know you. Lord, I believe that you've given us everything to restore our fellowship back with you, Lord Jesus, to restore our communion with you now, Lord. And through your word, Lord, let us commune with you this afternoon as your word goes forth. We ask, Lord God, that the words that I speak, Lord, will not be my words, Lord, but you'll speak words of edification and strength to your people and open up the ears of your people to hear and receive, Lord. We ask these things in your name. Amen. So John chapter 14, verses 14 to 21 says, if ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me. Because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? And Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. Whatsoever I have said unto you, you may be seated. The Lord has blessed you to the reading of the word. So just to add a little context to this scripture, as we were reading those words, maybe think about how it was really another junction time. Something was about to take place, and the disciples thought that they had put all their, maybe looking at Jesus as the fulfillment of something they didn't quite understand, looking at him to bring in another kingdom that they didn't quite understand, and then here he was talking about how he was going to go off the scene, going to leave them. But he was trying to give them some comfort. I'm leaving you, but I'm going to give you a comforter. And they didn't fully understand maybe at that time what that meant, what that comforter was going to do and what the purpose is. And I believe maybe in this hour there's many people that don't understand the purpose of what the Holy Ghost is. And so that's what I want to bring this afternoon, is what was it given for? Now, Brother Brown preached that series of three messages back in 1959 or whenever it was. What was the Holy Ghost given for, and how to get it, and how to know you got it, which was the one that was not recorded, and then the questions and answers on the Holy Ghost. And we were actually listening to questions and answers on the Holy Ghost as we were coming up the road this morning. And in that sermon, Brother Brandon really lays out what happened on the day of Pentecost, and he explains, he dramatizes a little bit for you. And if you go back and listen to that, Brother Bram talks about how that they were in the upper room. Jesus told them to go to Jerusalem and tarry and wait. And they waited there for 10 days, and they were there in that upper room. And then it was like three different things began to take place. They were there in the upper room with all their different opinions and all their different ideas of what was going to take place, how long it'll be. And we know that Peter rose up and said, well, let hold on. Now, we ain't got it yet. Let's just wait a little bit longer. And then they all began to get in one accord. And the Bible says in Acts that they began to pray in one accord. And they were there getting their mind in one accord, believing that God was going to give that promise to them, that the promise was to them, and it was going to come. And Brother Brown began to relate that first they saw it was like a mighty rushing wind moved into the building, like a rushing wind. And then he said, he began to describe that it was like, he compared it to that movie, Ten Commandments, Cecil B. DeMille's movie, The Ten Commandments, he said, look at that pillar of fire in the movie. How they put that in that movie. And off of that pillar of fire were little licks of fire. And he said, that's just how it was. Off of that pillar of fire, little licks of fire. And he said, in that room, there in that upper room, the little licks of fire began to circle and move. And they were sitting there, and they began to observe the licks of fire moving them out of that room. And the licks of fire began to settle on each one. Now, that's phase number two. The licks of fire began to appear. Now see how you can begin to, you can see something, and that's great. You can see something. You can feel something. That's great. But the third thing was the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost went into them. The Holy Ghost birthed them. And the Holy Ghost, and then what happened? He said, now they were about a block away from the temple, where the temple was. They were in that upper room, and it was at a block away, and they were up in that upper room because they were scared. They were afraid of all the people outside, that they might kill them and they might string them up and all those things. They were afraid. But when the Holy Ghost fell on them, it quickened the word that they had been hearing for 3.5 years, that they weren't afraid anymore. And they went out. They went out on the street, and the Holy Ghost was so filled with the Holy Ghost, Brother Bram said, that they could not express what was going on with them. And he said, they were moving a block, they were going toward the temple, a block away, where all the people from Cappadocia and Phrygia and all around the world were gathered together to worship there at the temple. And as they went, people were asking them, what's going on with you? And they began to share, they tried to express that this is the thing that we've been waiting on. This is the promise that was foretold in the book of Joel and all those things. And Brother Branham said that they could not express, they couldn't quite get it out. And they began to say this, they staggered, and with stammering lips and other tongues, they began to say, this is the thing. And God changed their words as it came out. They, with understanding, began to speak, and he changed their words so that other people could hear what they said. Now we know all those things. That was how the Holy Ghost first fell. That was how the Holy Ghost first fell. And I want to ask you this question. What did it do? What was the purpose of the Holy Ghost? Was the purpose of the Holy Ghost just so they could preach right there in the temple? Was the Holy Ghost just so that they, right there in that moment, so that they could preach good sermons? What was the Holy Ghost for? There was a purpose to the Holy Ghost. You see, there's a purpose. The Holy Ghost was given to actually accomplish a purpose. Everything is for a purpose, Brother Branham said. This church is erected for a purpose. There's nothing without a purpose and a cause. You are here for a purpose. The Holy Ghost was sent for a purpose. And if we can get into the message and identify what our purpose is, what our role is, what the Holy Ghost is here for, it will give you confidence and power. Yeah. Brother Branham said, what was the purpose of God sending the Holy Spirit? What's it for? If it's such a great thing, then why did God send it? If you can understand that you must have the Holy Ghost, you've got to have the Holy Ghost is more important than who you're going to marry. It's more important than what job you have. It's more important than where you live. It's more important than any other decision you can have in your life, because everything else stems from that thing. If that holy thing is living inside of you, as the Bible calls it, that holy thing, then everything else will just raise off of that. The sons of God are led by the Spirit of God, as the Bible tells us. Now, brother, Jesus said here in John chapter 14, verse 18, I will not leave you comfortless. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. So that kind of proves if Jesus is coming to you, if that is Jesus coming to you with the Holy Ghost, then that proves that Christianity is not just a dogma. Christianity is not just some things that we learn, but Christianity is actually the person of Jesus Christ being revealed to you. It's a person coming and living inside of you. That's what the Holy Ghost is that Jesus Christ himself coming and dwelling inside of you and revealing himself to you. And that's why Brother Ryan said God's purpose we find here in sending the Holy Spirit was one purpose, that God himself might dwell in his church, that God himself might dwell in his church and continue his plans through the church, to continue his plans that one day he was working in Jesus Christ, but now he's working in you and I to continue his plans in you, to use your hands and use your feet and use your eyes and so forth, that God was in Christ continuing his plans through Christ. And out of Christ into the church, continuing his work through the church. Now, again, y'all know how I do lately. I preach directly from a message. And so the message that I'm preaching from is, what was the Holy Ghost given for? With a little bit of lean in on questions and answers on the Holy Ghost. What was the Holy Ghost given for? So if you have any questions about this, I always want my ministry to not point back to me. Don't go listen to what I said over and over again, but go listen to what the prophet said. Go listen to what Brother Branham said. And as you listen to him and dig into what he said, then it's actually pointing back to Jesus Christ, and the revelation begins to unfold. Not because of what I said, but because I'm repeating what he said. I'm breaking down the nuggets of what he's already spoken. And I hope that maybe gives you confidence in what I'm saying this afternoon. Now he said, now we know what the Holy Spirit is. We find out last night that it's God. Now Brother Brown said, now when we think of God the Father, as Jesus spoke of here, his Father, God the Son, as Jesus, God the Holy Spirit, as what we call it today. Now that does not mean that there is three individual distinct gods. It means that there is one God and three offices. Now, I'm not going to break down the Godhead or anything this afternoon, but Brother Bram said, may we say it like this, all that God was, he poured into Christ. Because he emptied himself and poured into Christ, and Christ was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. All that Jehovah was, he poured into Christ, and all that Christ was, he poured into the church, not into one individual, but into the entire body. So from that we can take the point that God wants to pour himself into you. He wants to pour himself into the body. He wants to pour himself. And what does that mean, to pour into? It means that he wants to give you the same mind. He wants to give you the same power. He wants to give you the same works. He wants to give you the same life. He wants to give you the same qualities. He wants to give you the same person, the same person that walked on the shores of Galilee. He wants to put that in you. And that's what that means when he poured all of himself into Christ, and he walked on the shores of Galilee, fully manifesting every characteristic of God, every quality of God, all of the patience and long suffering, all of the joy and everything that goes into being God. And he wants to pour all of that into you. So if you want the Holy Ghost, if you want all of that to be poured into you, you got to find out how it works. Because Brother Branham, in this sermon, he's talking about how God works according to his law. And if you'll follow his law, follow his plan for how to get the Holy Ghost in you, then you can have, God will pour all of that into you. Not into one individual, but into his body, and of which you are a part of. You are a part of that body. And God can pour into, as he's pouring his spirit into the body, he's pouring himself into you. Now this whole, all through the scriptures, it talks about God pouring himself. And brother, Jesus there in Luke 22, as he was having his last supper, he said, likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup with the wine in it, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed or poured. The original Greek is poured for you. This cup is put, my life poured. And there on the cross, it was poured out so that it could be poured in you. It was blood. His life was poured out on the cross as it was shed for you so that he could pour his life into you on the, after the day of Pentecost. In Titus, it says, not by works of righteousness. It's not by our works that he pours his life into us, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed or poured on us abundantly. He's pouring it on us abundantly if we'll work in the way that he has designed it out to be worked through. Let me pause like that. Just for a moment and kind of dwell on that. Do you know what that means? God has a law through which he works. Just like an electrician, if you go to build a house, there might be power running all through the power lines outside, but if you can have the correct understanding to know how to wire a house and run the wire from here to there and put everything in place, and get everything in the way that will allow the electricity to flow, then the electricity will flow through the house and will light all the light bulbs. And if you can work according to God's law in that same manner, then God's power can flow through you. And that's why you've got to hear the preaching of the gospel, so you'll know by what law the Holy Spirit will flow through you. The same way with a plumber, if he's plumbing a house, the water will flow through that house through the pipes if you work according to the right law and put everything in order and don't make no leaks or anything, but have everything situated in just the right way so it's working according to the law, that when the inspector comes, he can say everything's built according to the right pattern, the right plan. And when you turn on the valve, then the water will flow through it. That's the same way the Holy Ghost is. If you do everything exactly the way that God's word says, the power of God will flow through you so that the Holy Ghost can fully be manifest and that God can fill you. Fill every fiber of your being. That's what this gospel is for, to allow the Holy Spirit to fill people, to fill individuals, so that you can manifest the word for your age. In Acts chapter 2, verse 17 and 28, it says, and it shall come to pass in the last days, as they were testifying of what had taken place, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Pour out. I will pour it out. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens, I will what? I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And in Acts chapter 10, verse 45, when Peter was speaking to the house of Cornelius, it says, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was what? Poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now the Holy Ghost was poured out there in the house of Cornelius upon all them that heard the word. So there is how you lay the conduit for the water to flow through. There is how you get all the electrical wiring laid out so that the power of God can flow through, is by the word. If the word is preached in the right way and you receive it in the right way with a broken and a contrite heart, ready to lay down all your old ideas and say, I was wrong there and now I believe it this way because it's been vindicated. It's been proven. I recognize the truth. I believe it. That something has got to happen. Now Jesus told this parable of filling up a wine bottle. And he said, no man putteth new wine into old bottles. In other words, you can't pour the Holy Ghost into an old wine bottle that's all hardened up and all got it so stubborn that it won't listen to nothing else. It's so stubborn that it won't listen to the truth. Jesus said, no man putteth new wine into old bottles, else the new wine doth burst the bottles, and the wine is spilled, and the bottles will be marred, but new wine must be put into new bottles. You can't put new wine into a bottle that's got so hardened up and so resistant to the truth that every time you try to tell it something new that maybe it hadn't heard before, that it just blows up and busts. Yeah. Isn't that the way it was? I was talking to somebody about how they were testifying about just sharing some things about what they had seen in the gospel, and the person that they were talking to just blew up and said, how can you teach me? You come to teach me. And they began to blow up, and that's putting new wine into an old bottle. When somebody blows up, and you, maybe you'll be sitting there in church and you say, I ain't listening to that. I'm stubborn. God don't want somebody that's stubborn. He wants somebody to be pliable, like a little green tree, like somebody that could just blow with the wind. And God teach me. You know, I was preaching up there in Kentucky, and I shared with them up there. I said, I'm going to share with you one of the greatest mysteries of the Bible. That if you want to get anything from God, you come like a little child. Come like a little child with an empty bowl saying, God, teach me, and I'm ready to receive. I'm ready to do it. What, if you want me to be baptized over again, if you want me to come and whatever you want me to do, if it's according to your word, I'm going to do it just like a little child. You see, then you become a bottle that God can fill. Then you become a bottle. You're a bottle that's all oiled up and it's pliable. And the more you put in, it can expand and allow itself to be filled. An old bottle just busts in the air every time you try to tell it something. You see what happens is when you begin to recognize your purpose, the Holy Ghost has a purpose and you have a purpose. And your purpose is to be filled with the Holy Ghost. God wants you to be filled up so much that He can use you. God's purpose is to be for you to manifest His Word. And Brother Branham, in this sermon, he begins to, right there in this sermon, he begins to go and he begins to relate the story of Ruth and about how Ruth began to hunger and thirst for her purpose. Now the Bible says that if you hunger and thirst for righteousness, you shall be filled. You shall be filled. It'll be poured out. If you're hungering and thirsting for righteousness like Ruth was, Brother Branham said, and just as sure as you're hungering tonight for the Holy Spirit, it's something in you pulling you that a purpose of God in your life has got to be fulfilled, just like it was with Ruth. You remember how Ruth said she got to a place that she recognized that the place she was at, She needed to return, go back to Jerusalem. She'd go back to Israel. She needed, her purpose was not to stay there in Moab, but to follow and go back. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and whither thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. In other words, she began to recognize her purpose. That the gods that she had been following there in Moab, she was changing from that purpose now to follow after this God, the true God, and she recognized her purpose. I believe that's what Brother Branham was preaching about in desperation. When you begin to recognize your purpose, recognize what God has called you to do, something begins to take hold in your life and you can't rest until you're satisfied. I've got to be satisfied, and the only thing that will satisfy me is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. God filling me with His own life. That's the only thing. That's what I need. Brother Bram said, that's when a person's called a vision. Don't make any difference what her people said. You're going over there and becoming a holy roller or something. That didn't make any difference to Ruth. There was a purpose of God to be fulfilled. When you can catch that vision and catch the purpose of God calling in your life, it doesn't matter what somebody says about you. It doesn't matter what somebody thinks about you. You're there. You're ready to see God's word fulfilled in your life. You see, God, in the life of Ruth, God was working on her on both ends. See, God is doing something to make a way for your purpose. So Ruth was coming back to the homeland, and there Boaz began, there something was working in Boaz, and God's just the same way as
Just the same way as God there on the cross performed the rite of redemption. He performed everything that was necessary there on the cross as he died for you. As God directed all of his anger there on Jesus, instead of directing it at you, he directed every bit of his anger and his wrath on that man hanging on the cross so that you could come to him. You say, well, I wonder if God is angry with me, but he's already directed all of his anger on him. He poured it out on him, all of his wrath there on the cross as he was beaten and mocked and scorned. All of our wrath was poured out on him so that you would have a way, so that you would have a path to come back to Jesus. Brother Brown said that's the way God did. He followed his own laws. See, God don't expect you to follow his laws and that he not follow. God is a man that he follows his own laws. God cannot follow, give you one law to follow him. This is what Brother Bram said. And him follow another. He follows his own laws. You see why it's so important to follow these laws, to follow the prescription, because the prescription is how the wiring in the house is done. The prescription is how the pipes are laid. And if you follow the law, follow the word, the way, the follow the prescription, then everything will work so that the Holy Ghost can flow through the right channel. Brother Brown said, then God, in order to redeem the lost church, the lost world, the lost creation, God, who is infinite in spirit, to redeem the lost human race, God himself become kinfolks, a man, a son that he created in the womb of Mary, and then he made an ensign or a testimony. Outside the gates of Jerusalem, he was lifted up between the heavens and earth and died and redeemed everything. And in bleeding, he sanctified a church that he himself might live in and fellowship and commune with, that lost spot of fellowship from the Garden of Eden where God came down every evening, church time. So what was the Holy Ghost given for? What was all of this for? To restore you back to fellowship. Redemption was fellowship restored, communion restored, living in man again. That's the purpose of the Holy Ghost. The purpose of the Holy Ghost is to restore you back to fellowship, to restore you back to communion, so that you have an understanding of what God wants, so that you know what your purpose is, so you recognize the purpose of God living in man. Brother Brown said it, that's the purpose of the Holy Ghost. It's the Father again. God the Father dwelling in you, working out his plans to finish his plan of redemption, working through you, making you a co-worker with him, giving you a place. Do you realize how magnificent that is, that he didn't just come himself and do all of the work there on the cross, but he wanted you to have a role in saving your brother and sister. He wanted the ministers to preach the gospel. He wanted you to testify at your workplace. He wanted you to share it with your friends, and he gave you a part in this so that you would be a co-worker with him. That's what the Holy Ghost is given for. Giving you a part for your fallen lost brother and sister. Giving you his spirit and his love to go hunt the lost as he did in the Garden of Eden. And it's there in this message that Brother Bram talks about how there in the garden he began to say, Adam, Adam, where art thou? But now it's his spirit in you saying, Adam, Adam, where art thou? It's a spirit in the church. That's what the Holy Ghost is given for. He's crying out for those lost people through you. It's no more God walking through the evening time in the Garden of Eden, but it's now him walking in you, speaking out a message of peace and joy and deliverance to people that are lost, that are bound in prison chains. Come, like Brother Luis was saying this morning, come. There's something to come to, and it's the promise of the Holy Ghost. What is it? It's the Father manifesting himself in you. In John chapter 14, verses 8 to 12, Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Show us the Father. I wonder if, can we recognize where the Father is now? Brother Brown said that when you get the Holy Ghost, you've got Father, Son, and Holy Ghost living inside of you, because it's not three different people. It's that one God living inside of you. So if you want to see the Father, show us the Father. Where is the Father now? Where is his tabernacle? He's tabernacling in the hearts and lives of his children. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet thou hast not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. What is it today when somebody's preaching the gospel and speaking the words of eternal life? It's the Father speaking. If it's not some man's ideas or man's opinion, if it comes straight from the Word, but quickened by the Holy Ghost, it's not man speaking anymore, but it's the Father speaking. If it's God performing in you His works, it's not the man doing the works, but it's the Father doing the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And he went to the Father to put the Father in you to declare the works of the Father. That's what the Holy Ghost was given for. The Holy Ghost was given to declare the works of the Father. It's the Father working in you and living in you to declare his great attributes. In 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 to 3, it says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life, for the life was manifested, and we have seen it. We have seen the life manifested. Do you know that's what the Holy Ghost was given for? To manifest the life of God, to put it on display. Not just some dogma, not just some good teaching, but the life, the quickened word, made alive, resurrected from dead works, God himself walking and tabernacling in you. For the life was made manifested, and we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested. What's he saying? That we're showing unto you that eternal life, that same eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. That's why John chapter 14 says, at that day, ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. Why? Because now the Father is tabernacling himself in you, declaring himself through you. And that gives you reason to know that I am in my Father. Jesus is in the Father and you're in him, and it's all wrapped up together. He's in you by the new birth, and you're in him because you're part of that body, and he's the manifestation of the Father. That's why he's in him. I and you, I'm in my Father, and ye and me, and I and you. We're all part of this one great mystical body, and through that God is manifesting that life, that same life that spoke the world into existence through you. John chapter 16, verse 26 to 27. At that day ye shall ask in my name, and I say unto you that I will pray the Father for you. I'm not going to pray the Father for you in that day. For the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me and have believed that I came out from God. In that day the Father will be tabernacling in you. It's the Father manifesting himself. What is the Holy Ghost given for? God filling his church with the same life that was in Jesus Christ. That's what the Holy Ghost was given for. Now, Brother Branham, in this message, he said after the Reformation of 1500 years of dark ages, Luther was the first reformer to come forth after the round of the apostles. And then when Luther come forth, God tipped up a little bit. He's got his, now just to paint a picture, he's got his filling pot. He's got his, after 1500 years of dark ages, 1500 years, it's time to get to filling. How does he fill it? How does he lay the pipework? How does he lay the electrical wires? So that the electricity can flow. So that the water can flow. Right. How does he get it? He said, and then when Luther come forth, God tipped up a little bit of the Spirit and poured it out upon the church in justification. Amen. It's time to get to filling. Now see, this is what the Holy Ghost was given for. See why it's so important to listen to what Brother Branham said. So many times we get in our head, well, I already know what the Holy Ghost was given for. Right. But you begin to listen to what he's saying.
Right.
What is it for? And he's bringing it up to a culmination in this message. He's bringing it up to what it's really for. Now listen, he said God tipped up a little bit of the Spirit and poured it out upon the church in justification. Why was he able to pour it out upon the church in justification? Because out of that dark age, out of the darkness came a little bit more of light as Luther began to preach, that it's not by doing novenas and by paying people to be prayed out of purgatory and all those. You're not saved by that, but you're saved by faith in Jesus Christ. And that is counted for righteousness just the same way as it was to Abraham. That's what makes you just. That's what makes a person filled with the Holy Ghost just. Down in your soul, you're just because the price has already been paid. And God is not looking at you. He's looking through the smoke of his burning blood. He's looking through the smoke of that atoning sacrifice. His blood has already paid the price and he's not looking at you. He's made you just by his sacrifice. And that's what Martin Luther was preaching. And that's what allowed the pot to be tipped up a little bit, poured out a little bit. Now I'm just dramatizing. They're not an actual pot. We're talking about the life of God being poured out into the church. And Brother Brown said, God tipped up a little bit of the Spirit and poured it out upon the church in justification. And then in the days of Wesley, he poured out a little more of himself into sanctification. He poured out a little more of himself. Why could he pour out a little bit more? Because there was a little bit more light on the Word. And the more Word you have, the more Word you believe, the more Spirit can be poured out. And that's what the Holy Ghost has been taught wrong so many years. The more words you have, the more Spirit can be poured out. It's not that you can just go to a camp meeting or somewhere and you don't have a clue about nothing, that you don't even have to listen to the Word. You just sit there and you feel good or something. But you've got to hear the Word preached. If the Word is preached and you receive it, then the Spirit can be poured out. The more Word available, the more Spirit can be poured out. That's why he said, and then in the days of Wesley, he poured out a little more of himself. A little more of himself into sanctification. Now, you see where he's headed. Martin Luther, Wesley, a little more, a little more. See where we're supposed to be at now? Brother Brown said, look at the Lutheran age. You read history, you who read history, look at their revival and what they did. Look how much greater the Wesley revival was. How much greater the Wesley revival was. And he said, how much more power they had. How much more power they had, but in the minority. And he said, as the age has grown on to the end time, God has been filling his church. Just look around and find out if that's truth or not. Just look around and we can look inwardly and see, look inwardly at the revelation of God that God has been pouring out in your own life. That is how you should be able to recognize that God is filling his church in this hour. Get our mind, like Brother Luis was talking about this morning, if we could get our mind off of what other people are doing and how other people are preaching the message and doing all kinds of, I can't help that. I can't help how people have made the message this and that and those and that, whatever. I can't help that, but I know that this message is true. I know that there's power in this message. I can't help what people are doing out there, but I can help what I believe. I can help myself. I can't hardly help myself. I know this message is true and I know that there's power in it to change your life. And Brother Brown said that the more word that's given, the more Spirit will be poured out, and the more that's given, the more is required. Brother Brown said, now God, he said, as the light has begun to shine in this last days, he's expecting us a great thing from us. Because where there's much given, there's much required. So he's going to require much more of us than he did of the Lutherans or the Methodists, because we walk in a greater light, with a greater power, with a greater witness than they had. Now we have a greater witness of the resurrection. We have things more firmer, more sure than they had. A greater witness, a greater power. What kind of a greater power? A greater power to be a light to the world, to withstand everything, every thought that the devil throws at you. When the devil says you can't do it, we've got a greater witness in us, a greater than he is in us than he is in the world. It's God in you living it out. It's not you. It's not by your works, but because you have received the word for your day, that life is now being manifest in you, and you've got a greater power and a greater witness and a greater testimony, because God is now living in you in his fullness, the fullness of the bride. He's poured everything out. All of himself he's poured out into you. The same characteristics, the same life, the same attributes, the same love, the same joy, the same peace. All that sameness that was in him on the shores of Galilee is now in you. And Brother Brown talks about how that it began coming forth from Luther, two shoots, and moved on into a tassel, and then on to the shuck, and then on to the corn. And he talks about how that, now listen, We're talking about purpose, that there's a purpose with the Holy Ghost, that you have a purpose as an individual. And he begins to say that you can't say, the corn cannot say to the tassel, I don't have no use for you. Because there's a purpose. There's a purpose in every age. A purpose to every believer in every age. Every believer has a purpose. And so you can't look at somebody else that maybe doesn't have the capacity to go on as much as you and say, there's no purpose for you. Every believer. I'm trying to preach grace this afternoon. Every believer has a purpose. Don't let nobody tell you you don't have a purpose. Don't let nobody push you under their thumb and say, well, I'm greater than you. If you can get down and humble yourself. Brother Brown said, oh, the tassel can't say to the leaf, I have no use of you, because the same life that was in the leaf made the tassel. The same life that was in the tassel made the ear. It was a Lutheran church that made the Wesley church. It was the Wesley church that made Pentecost. But Pentecost, what is it? It's the restoration of the same kind of a grain that went into the ground at the beginning. So every believer in this body has a purpose. Everybody has a purpose, and they're all part of the plan. So we don't demean a Holy Ghost filled believer because for not understanding what you do. We're trying to lift one another up. We're trying to pull one another up. And so we don't push one another. We don't mock somebody because they may be stuck still inside of the eggshell. But we're trying to help everybody out. We're trying to pull one another out of the eggshell. Come on, you can do a hatch. Come on, it's time to start picking with that beak. It's time to start speaking that word and come out of the egg. Come out of the egg. We're not trying to keep you in the egg. Excuse me, y'all. See, now Brother Branham said, now in this age that we're now living, this age is beyond Pentecost. It's time. It's coming forth. You're expected to be filled more because you've been given more word. And so the Holy Ghost was given to teach, to teach you. It's beyond Pentecost. In other words, it's moved on from the Lutheran church to the Wesleyan church to Pentecost. And now we're coming back to the ripening of the grain. And that is what the Holy Ghost is for. The Holy Ghost is there, not just to give you the Holy Ghost, not just to give you eternal life in your soul, but it's actually there to begin transforming you from the inside out, to cause the maturity of the church, the maturity of the bride, to bring you into maturity, into a place of maturity. Why? Because the purpose of the Holy Ghost, the purpose of the Holy Ghost is to eventually bring the dead from the ground. That's what Brother Branham said in this message. These are my words. It's the Holy Ghost. The purpose of the Holy Ghost is God. The Holy Ghost expanding and expanding, maturing you up until you come to a place where the dead will rise from the ground. Glory. He said, and I'm kind of jumping around a little bit. I'm watching that clock. Brother Branham said, and what was the Holy Ghost given for? The same Holy Spirit that saved the Lutherans, that sanctified the Methodists, that baptized the Pentecostals, is now setting in order the coming of the Lord Jesus. Amen. That same Holy Ghost is now setting in order the coming of the Lord Jesus. How is it doing that? He said when it'll be so powerful, that body will come into this group of church. That body of the Lord Jesus will come into this church. In other words, the church will be filled. The church will be filled. Why? Because she's heard the word, the full word. The church will be so filled until that body will come into the church. That'll draw the rest of them from the grave. There'll be a resurrection. That's what the Holy Ghost is for. What is the Holy Ghost? Without us, they cannot be made perfect. Without us, they cannot be made perfect. Because it's the whole body being manifested. And you take one part of that body out and the whole body is imperfect. Every member of the body has a purpose. Every single member in that body is there for a purpose. The Lutherans were there for a purpose. The Wesleyans were there for a purpose. And you're there for a purpose. And nobody here is demeaning you or pushing you down. But there's a gospel here that if you'll receive it, God can fill you in the same way that others have been filled. I want to declare to you that if others have received the Holy Ghost, then that should be a sign for you that you can receive it. It's waiting there for you to receive it. It's there. Brother Brown said the skies are filled with they might be filled with the electric power, but if you don't get the wiring right, it can't be used. But if you listen to the word and obey the word, then that same power that has been given to others will be made manifest in your life. What was the Holy Ghost given for? To set in order the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. to make a way for that body to be fully manifested in His bride. The whole body of the Word. What body of the Word? The body of the Son of Man. The Son of Man fully made manifested in a living, walking group of people. God fulfilling His Word and manifesting Himself in you. The Holy Ghost was sent to live in you. Now, I think it's so interesting how Brother Branham preaches. He preached half of that sermon and he got really deep and then he backs off. And he says, he goes back to John 14 and says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do because I go to my Father." And he begins to talk about how there's many people that sit in the church and they say, I believe. And there's a quote in this message where he even says, you can say you believe the pastor, but that ain't the Holy Ghost. You could even say, I believe the, why do you believe it? Because the Word says so. But that's not the Holy Ghost. And all these evidences to see you've got to have the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost is different from the way many people think it is. The Holy Ghost is not just a dogma or not just being able to intellectually in your mind to understand a lot of the things that are preached even. But the Holy Ghost is a person. The Holy Ghost in you will actually give you the correct interpretation of the Word. The Holy Ghost in you will mix that letter of the Word that killeth with the love of God. And it will give you the right interpretation. That letter that you can take and chop somebody's head off with it and kill somebody. The letter that will kill your family if you don't use it right. The letter that can kill a church. You mix it with the Holy Ghost and power, the love of God in there, and it'll give you the right interpretation. You've got to have the Holy Ghost. Brother Bram said, he said, yes, I believe. Sure, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, but the devil believes the same thing. The devil believes the same thing. So it's not just sitting in church and saying, yeah, that's good. That's a good idea. And you go right back into the world and nothing's been changed. You don't have the power of God in your life. Nothing's been changed at all. You don't have the life of God being made manifest. Brother Bram said, you are not converted until you've received the Holy Ghost. That's right. You are believing unto. Now the definition of converted, if you go look on the internet, converted means of a building having been adapted to be suitable for a new purpose. In other words, you take an old rundown building that's good for nothing, like you were when you were out in the world, and convert it and fix it up so that somebody can come and live in it. And that's what God is doing to you when He converts you. He's made you into a building that He can come and live in. He's made it so He can live inside of you, because that's what the Holy Ghost is given for. Not just so that you can be a good church member and so that you can nod your head and go along. Yeah, I believe it. Yes, sir. I agree with the pastor. I love the pastor. I agree with the word. See, when the Holy Ghost comes in you, it will make you really agree with the word. Where you thought that you agreed before, the Holy Ghost will give you the right interpretation of the word. Why? Because it is the interpreter of the word. The interpretation of the Word is the Word made alive. The Word actually living in you. When it's there on the page, it's dead. It's dead letter. It can kill. It can kill and destroy. But when the Holy Ghost comes, it'll raise it from the grave. It'll raise it up just like it raised Jesus' dead body laying there in the tomb. That body was spoken word body. It was a spoken word, spoken into the womb of Mary, and there it lay in the tomb. But one day, at the rising of the sun, that life came back into that body and caused it to rise up.
That's right.
And Brother Brown said, you're not sealed by believing unto, but sealed by the Holy Ghost. Ephesians 4:30, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed until the day of your redemption. That seals you when you found favor with God, and He seals you by the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't want to leave loose ends. Don't you just hate it when a minister preaches stuff like, when you found favor with God and he leaves that loose end. And you're sitting there thinking, well, how am I supposed to find favor with God? How do you find favor with God?
Exactly.
Through His Word. You find favor with God by doing the only thing that you can do is believe His Word.
Right.
What else can you do but believe His Word? There's no work that you can do. You can't beat yourself on the back with a whip or anything.
Right.
It's not how long you pray or things like that.
Amen.
It's not even how much you come to church.
Right.
But that's part of it.
Right.
It's how much you believe God's word. And when you believe God's word, all of those things begin to become an outward manifestation. That's why when you begin to believe God's word and take it at his word, that something will be recognizable in you. If you're not at the house of God every time the doors are open, then that shows something is wrong in your life. It shows that you have not identified the purpose of the Holy Ghost. Because if you see the vision, if you see the purpose of the Holy Ghost in your life, you'll be there every time the word is being preached. Well, I didn't mean to get on that. Listen, 1 Peter chapter 1 says, seeing you have purified your souls, you have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. It's the word of God. The word of God is how you find favor with God. The word of God. Now, if you actually catch the purpose of God in your life, that is what you're supposed to be doing here on earth, is get the Holy Ghost, then it will not matter how mean somebody is to you. It will not matter what is preached behind the pulpit. It will not matter how rough somebody is. You catch that purpose and you've got that vision. You will do whatever it takes to get that Holy Ghost in your life. You will drop everything until the life of God is manifested in you. When you catch the purpose of God in your life, that's what God wants to do with you. That promise is laying there for you to get it. He promised it. And if he promised it, then come and get it. He promised it. Oh, yeah, sometimes you got to be a little Jacob. It don't matter how mean somebody is. Sometimes you got to be a little shyster and do whatever it takes to get that word. If I have to sneak in before the service starts to get those message books off the front pew, if I have to do whatever it takes. Now listen, this might be a little bit hurtful or whatever, but you see, your eternal life is at stake. Your eternal life is at stake. What does it matter if the preaching gets a little bit hurtful sometimes? If it will save your soul and give you eternal life. But Brother Bob, that stings. It stings when somebody preaches the truth. It stings, but the truth is what will set you free. The truth is what will bring deliverance. The truth is what causes you to realize that you're still that little eagle in the egg. And you gotta come out. You're not supposed to be in the egg. And when the gospel is preached, it causes you to realize and begin into desperation. Brother Brown said, compare it to an Antichrist, the Antichrist spirit. The Antichrist says, yeah, I believe, casting out devils, but they can't go all the way on to the Holy Ghost. Why? They get caught up in the intellectual, mental conception. I go to church. I kind of understand what the preaching is about. Not really. I don't have a full revelation. They're kind of catching on to some things and they get satisfied with the mental interpretation, their own mental conception.
Yes, come on.
Now do y'all realize, hold on now. Y'all lift up your weary heads. Wake up just for a second. Do you realize what the difference between an intellectual believer and a real Holy Ghost believer is? Everybody starts off as an intellectual. Everybody starts off. Why? Because when you hear the word, it goes in your head. It goes in your thinking channel. And you're thinking about it. And you're pondering over it. And you're battling it out. Wondering whether this is true or not. Wondering what Jesus really meant by Matthew 28:19. How does that compare with Acts 2:38? And you're battling it out. And you're wondering. You don't understand. But then, you see, that's mental. That's a mental conception. A mental understanding. That's not what saves you. But you gotta go through that. You gotta start off with an intellect. We don't wanna stay at intellectual. And staying at intellectualism is the danger. Staying there. Staying there is what Judas began to get satisfied, and he, in his intellectual thinking, he began to wonder. Now, John chapter 12 verses 4-6 is where Judas really had a little turning point. He got it all in his head that he knew more than Jesus. Why would you let that little woman come and break that bottle of ointment all over your feet? Well, she could have gone and done a whole lot more with that. The Bible says that Judas said, then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him. Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? Why was not, and the Bible says this, he said not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bear what was put therein. And he began, in his own mind, he began to think that he knew better than the preacher. He knew better than the pastor. He knew better than the ministers on how to get the Holy Ghost. He knew better than somebody else preaching the true word. And that's when you get that intellectual, you begin to get satisfied. Don't get satisfied. You remember Brother Branham said somebody came up to him and said, well, what more can I do but believe? And Brother Branham said, yeah, that's all you can do, but there's something else to follow that. When God recognizes that you have believed, then he will seal you with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So to be satisfied with an intellectual state is the worst thing.
Right.
One of the worst, because you'll keep coming to church. You'll keep sitting there on the pew, being religious, in a religious state, sitting there thinking that you're right because you have a good mental conception. Thinking about what it's right to be a Christian. I'm a good person. I'm a good person. I can be a good Christian and just go off and live any kind of way. Live in adultery, live in filth, and allow my family to live in filth and all that kind of stuff. But let the Holy Ghost come and straighten out the correct interpretation of the word and actually live inside of you and see what change it will wrought in your life. See, there's a difference between something you can reason about and something that is alive. There's a difference between something that you can reason about and question and ponder over and something that is alive. And see, that's what the Holy Ghost was given for. To bring the word to life.
Amen.
To bring it to life.
Right.
let me stop on this for a second. I'm not stopping. But just dwell on this. Now, Brother Jesus was talking about when he began to be questioned about marriage and divorce. Marriage and divorce is one of those like off topic things because it seems so hard and everything. As you go back, I actually have been spending some more time listening to marriage and divorce, and I believe that message is one of the greatest grace messages. If you'll listen to it in the way that it was really meant. As somebody was telling me how they went to a church and on the minister's wall back there in the back was a little sign that said, don't preach about marriage and divorce. And that's the way many people have treated marriage and divorce because they're afraid of it. But in that sermon, do you know I believe the true revelation of marriage and divorce is as God is trying to fully unite with his bride. You can't have a wedding unless the old man is fully dead. And Brother Branham in that message lays out all the reasons why you can't get married if there's still a living partner, all those things. But now he's coming to bring grace to prove to you, to show to you that the old man is dead and there's no reason why you can't be fully united with the bridegroom. Now, I didn't mean to get off of that, but listen, in Mark chapter 10 verse 45, and they said Moses suffered to write a bill of divorcement and to put her away. And this is the reason. We'll get it in our head. We understand. We understand marriage and divorce by our reasoning. And Jesus answered and said unto them, for the hardness of your heart, he wrote you this precept. He allowed you to write a law of divorcement. Why? Because of your hard hearts. What was the Holy Ghost given for? The Holy Ghost was given to take that old stony heart out and make your heart, put the love of God in that heart so that then you can interpret the word correctly. So then when you have the love of God in your heart and you've got, when you and your wife are both filled with the Holy Ghost and the love of God has preeminence in your home, there ain't gonna be no writing of divorcement. There ain't gonna be no writing of divorcement. That's why Jesus said, but from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. Why? Because in the beginning, Adam had love for his wife. It was love, and that's what the Holy Ghost is given for, to take us back so that we love one another. Not so that we can read those quotes in marriage and divorce. Bless God, I've got a right to put my wife away because she won't bear me a child. But if the Holy Ghost is in you, it will interpret the word correctly so that you will love your wife and do like Adam and try to redeem your wife back. Now, it wasn't an attribute, Adam's attribute to do that, to be able to do that. But Jesus Christ could to redeem his wife back. And that same attribute by the Holy Ghost will be in a man or a son or a daughter of God that really has that love to try to redeem his spouse, to try to talk to them in love, to try to work with them and share the gospel with them. Am I okay? Y'all believe what I'm saying? Even if you don't believe it, just ponder on these things. I'm not talking about marriage and divorce somewhere. I'm talking about love. I'm talking about that's what the Holy Ghost was given for, to make you love one another, to make you love one another, to make you love your spouse. And that's what the Holy Ghost, Brother Brown said, the Holy Ghost interprets the word. It gives the correct interpretation of the word. It manifests the word. It makes the dead let her live. Right. It brings forth fruits. It brings every promise to pass. That's what the Holy Ghost was given for. The purpose of the Holy Ghost is to bring forth a resurrection. It's to raise up. That's what the purpose was. That's why Abraham back in the Old Testament had such confidence that God would raise up, if he killed his son Isaac, that God would raise him up, because he had confidence in the power of the resurrection. That same spirit that raised Christ from the grave, that same spirit, that's an attribute of God, the Holy Ghost, it raises up from the dead. Amen. Hebrews 11 says, of whom it was said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead. From whence also he received him in a figure. Abraham had confidence that there was resurrection power in that spirit. Brother Abraham said, what is eternal life? All that the Father's given me will come to me. All that comes to me, I'll give him the Holy Ghost. And I'll raise him up at the last day. I will do it. He said, not no ifs and ands about it. I will. All that comes and I'll give eternal life, he will have to raise. He will have to raise because he's got eternal life. He has to come. Can't die no more than God can die. Do you see what the Holy Ghost does? When the Holy Ghost comes into your life, it raises the word to life in your life. It actually causes it to live. It raises you from the dead works that you do, the dead works of trying to do something for God, of trying to just come to church and trying to do something. But it raises you from dead works to actually live, serving a living God, that God is actually living in you. It raises it. That's why as I was kind of studying on this, I began to think back to that old song. You remember that? I don't know if you ever heard that song, Ain't No Grave Gonna Hold Me Down. That Claude Eli. Now they turned it into an old bluegrass song with a rock guitar howling in the background and everything if you listen to it today. But it was originally a song that Claude Eli was a songwriter. He got tuberculosis when he was real sick, when he was real young, about 12 years old. And he just began, the Holy Ghost came upon him there when he was dying of tuberculosis in his bed. And he rose up from his bed and began to sing that song, Ain't No Grave Gonna Hold My Body Down. Why? Because that's the power of the Holy Ghost to raise you up from the grave, to raise you up from dead, dark, cold denominational ideas, to raise you up from your old way of thinking, to raise you up from sin and despair. To raise you up, and if you were to die and go down into the grave, and that eternal life was living in your soul, that ain't no grave gonna hold that body down, because that is what the Holy Ghost was given for. The Holy Ghost was given to raise you up. Amen. To raise you up. You cannot keep the revealed word in the grave. You can't keep it down. You can't keep it down. You can't keep the revealed word down in the heart of a believer. The devil can try to put you down and tell you, oh, it ain't for you. Don't even bother trying anymore. But before long, God will begin to raise that spirit up within you because why you can't keep it down. That's what the Holy Ghost was given for. That's why it was put into the church, to show, to prove to God that he loves you, to prove that he's there for you. He's with you. And he said he'll never leave you or forsake you. It doesn't matter how down you get, how dark the world gets, you cannot keep the word down. You see, the purpose is to manifest the same works. Brother Ram said the purpose of sending the Holy Ghost was for God to continue through a bunch of people. to continually manifest God to the world. Not by creed, not by denomination, but what? By the power of His resurrection. That's what the Holy Ghost has given for. The Holy Ghost is the power of the resurrection that you cannot keep down, that the devil can't keep down. By making His word real, by taking His promise and standing on the side of the minority and believing God, and watch the black skies move back and the power of God move in and take over. That's what He wants, Brother Bram said. That's what the Holy Ghost was sent for. That's what purpose He sent it for. We know what it is now, Brother Bram said. And that's why He sent it. Doesn't that give you confidence this afternoon? That now you know what the Holy Ghost is given for. That you know what the purpose is. It's to manifest Himself, to continue through you, to continue His life in you by the power of His resurrection, by the power of that same life that raised up Christ from the grave. And if that same life lives in you, then that same power will raise you up from your dead works. It will give you power to withstand everything that the devil throws at you. So then it becomes not you doing the work, it's Christ living in you. So many people have made the gospel a book of rules and a book of works. But what it is, it's God living in you. That you don't have to do anything. That should liberate and free every believer. That you don't have to do anything. All you have to do is yield yourself to Him. To allow Him to have full sway in you. Like Brother Luis was talking about this morning. Just fully yield yourself. Yield yourself as a vessel that He can come and inhabit and live in. And how do you do it? By surrendering to the Word. And how do you surrender to the Word? If you don't know the Word, get into the Word and give yourself to it. Brother Brown said, and God came down, made a body, lived in it, shed that blood for the sanctifying of this, which absolutely expelled the guilt of sin and shame. I'm just gonna kind of skip ahead a little bit. Brother Brown said, oh my, I'm trying to find a place to, I'm going to stop right here. We're going to read a few more little things. Now, Brother Bram said the Holy Ghost to identify whether it's really in you. He said the Holy Ghost will follow God's word to the letter. Now that don't mean that you know everything all at once, but when you are presented with the word, there's going to be a desire in you because something's been changed in you that I want to be right. I want to follow God's word. And you'll do everything you can to follow that word because Brother Bram said the Holy Ghost in you will follow God's word to the letter. And a preacher behind the pulpit that ain't got grace enough to preach it, I doubt he's got it. Well, that's what the Holy Ghost is for. That's been one of my biggest grievances through my walk as a Christian is ministers that will draw back and won't share the full gospel, won't preach the whole thing. But if the gospel is, if the gospel's there, if we've heard it, then let's preach it.
Glory.
Brother Brown said the Holy Ghost is there to give unction to the preacher.
Right.
It's to set the church in order.
Right.
It's to unite us together with power.
Yeah.
It's to give holiness to the group.
Yeah.
The Holy Ghost is to bring a unity of spirit. Well, what about that? The same thing that was given there on the day of Pentecost when it first fell. To bring everyone in one accord. To bring a unity of spirit.
Yeah.
It's to unite us together with love, brotherly love. And Brother Brown said, now people look at me in the face. A lot of hands went up. You had the Holy Ghost. See, sure, there was. It's examining time. It's examining to see whether you have truly received, whether you meet the requirements. And Brother Brown then began to tell that story of the little fire, the little Jeffersonville fire truck and the little Clarksville fire truck that pulled up at the fire. And they began to squirt a little water here and squirt a little water there. And then somebody from the big Louisville Fire Company pulled up and he said they jumped off of that truck and they ran toward the fire because they knew what to do. They knew how to put it out and they ran toward the fire and it almost sounded like an action scene. He said they ran toward the fire and they tossed the axe ahead of them. And before they got there, the axe went through that window and they were coming to put that fire out because they were coming. Why they were coming? Committed. They were coming. He was coming to put that fire out with a vision. He knew what his purpose was. And that's how every believer should be, as a musician can come on forward. And we'll end on this note. Every believer should, that desires to have the Holy Ghost, should come with that level of commitment.
Right.
That we're not here to just squirt a little water here, squirt a little water there, but we're here to come to knowing the way that it works, knowing the channel that the Holy Ghost comes in. And we're not coming just squirting a little water here and there, but we're coming knowing what God has given us.
Glory.
Amen.
Amen and amen.
God is able. Aren't you glad that God has sent His Holy Ghost into the church?
Yes.
The Holy Ghost isn't just something, just a feeling or something. That is, the Holy Ghost is the life of God in you. Glory. That's coming with a purpose.
Right.
A purpose.
Amen.
To manifest Himself in you.
Amen.
Amen. Everybody feel good? Everybody?
Amen.
Let's just stand and worship the Lord.
That same spirit, the brothers can bring that up in the back. We'll sing. Topic here is the Holy Spirit. D, yeah, let's try that. I can't remember exactly which key you sing. Oh, Jesus said it is expedient for me to go away. But I'll send you another comforter to guide you from day to day. So they tarry at Jerusalem for power from on high. That same Spirit that they received within my heart abides. Oh, I can feel His Holy Spirit dwelling deep within. Well, sometimes it feels so gentle, and sometimes like a mighty rushing wind. But that same Spirit that raised my Jesus up from death and the grave, it will raise this old body up and take me home someday. Oh, well, they laid Him in an empty tomb, and they rolled back the stone at the door. They put soldiers there to guard it.
But you can't keep
they thought they'd done
out.
Away with my Lord.
It don't matter what,
but
the devil
on
can
that
do,
third
can't keep that
day, the stone was rolled away, and He came forth from the grave. And that same Spirit that raised my Jesus up will take me home someday.
Amen.
Oh, I can feel this Holy Spirit dwelling deep within. Well, sometimes it feels so gentle, and sometimes like a mighty rushing wind. But that same Spirit that raised my Jesus up from death and the grave, it will raise this whole body up and take me home someday.
Sing that chorus one more time.
Oh, I can feel this Holy Spirit dwelling deep within. Well, sometimes it feels so gentle, and sometimes like a mighty rushing wind. But that same Spirit that raised my Jesus up from death and the grave, it will raise this old body up and take me home someday. It will raise this old body up and take me home someday.
Amen.
Amen.
My what a gift that God has given to us. Praise something that will, that has resurrected us, placed us in, placed us with Him in heavenly places. And you cannot die. Brother Rams, so many times in this message he said, if you've got the Holy Ghost, you cannot die. It doesn't matter if they chop your head off like they did Paul. It doesn't matter. Whatever the devil does to you, you ain't going to die because one day you're coming back. One day you're coming back because you've got that same life in him with the resurrection power that raised up Christ from the grave. What a blessing that God has given to us.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
If you love the Lord this morning, well, let's just worship him a little bit more. Well, you got another?
Amen. Let's just say, fill my cup, Lord. Amen.
Amen. He's here to do it.
I don't know what
we understand singing. How it works. Take him at his
fill
word.
Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord.
If you need a refilling this afternoon, just
come
lift your hands and worship.
Quench.
He's here to give it if you'll just believe.
This thirsting of my soul, red of heaven, feed me till I want. Cup, fill it up and make me whole. Just fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul, bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Here's my cup, fill it up and make me whole.
Amen. Don't you just love him? A God that is here to meet every need.
Amen.
We have a high priest that can be touched by every infirmity and knows every pain and trouble that we're going through, is ready to just come on the scene and meet our every need.
Amen.
My, what a Savior.
Amen.
Anything else?
No.
Oh.
Amen. You enjoy the message?
Amen.
Let's give our brother a good hand. We believe it, don't we? Thank the Lord for it. Amen. Good message. Tell him how much you appreciate it. Amen. All right. How much did we get? Can you tell us?
1,000.
1,000. Okay. We've had a good year and a good time, and we've had some extra money to come in and things. So, you know, it's been running good. Let's just supply those people a house to live in. Is that all right with everybody?
Yeah.
Okay. That way we don't bypass the trustees. We go right out in front of the church with everything. That's the easiest way of doing something anyway, because you can't argue the point. But what was it, 42?
4,200, but we already had 1,200, so.
Oh, you already had 1,200? Well, okay. We'll give you three. All right. All right, is that okay?
Amen.
Just give him $3,000 to put on it? Because he's already got $1,200. We're getting a better deal than we thought we was doing. But we appreciate it. Appreciate your time and all and effort today. No, let's just thank God. Like I said, tell our brother how much you appreciate it. Remember Wade, they're going from where he's at now and preaching today for brother. He didn't get to go to Brother Forney's, so he went up to Brother Tim Calhoun, and these preachers up there today, and then they're going on up and work on the deer hunting land a little bit and be up there. So remember them as they travel and getting back home with us and everything. Just pray that the Lord would take care of them, okay? Everybody happy?
Yeah.
Anybody thankful? Anything to be said? Okay. Father, we thank you for this day and your love unto us. Thank you for everything that you've given us. And Lord, we just ask you that you'd be with us. Thank you for what we heard today. Bless our brother, Lord. Bless brother, our both of our brothers as they need rest in their bodies for you and can do their jobs next week or this week, Lord. And we pray that you'd bless and guide each one. Be with all of those that are sick among us. There are many things that are there, the sicknesses and things. But we see you daily as you're taking care of each one. And we pray that you'd bless and guide. Forgive our sins. Bless us on the way home. Take care of everybody. Give a safe journey. Let your grace be with us in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.
Thank you, Dee, again. That seems fair. Ooh.